Spirit Catholic Radio presents Holiness Helpers. Join members of the Pro-Sanctity Movement of Omaha in growing in holiness to become saints in the making. Now, Holiness Helpers.
This Holiness Helpers radio program is offered as a part of the Pro-Sanctity Movement. The Pro-Sanctity Movement is an international movement in the Church dedicated to spreading the universal call to holiness. The Pro-Sanctity Movement was founded in Italy in 1947 by Bishop Jacquinta and is comprised of lay people, consecrated people, and priests. The apostolate includes retreats, summer camp for girls, college and young adult ministry, parish work, secular jobs, spiritual direction, and family formation. The work of the Pro-Sanctity Movement is led by the Apostolic Oblates belonging to the Secular Institute of the Apostolic Oblates Consecrated to Redemptive Love. A secular institute is a form of consecrated life in the Catholic Church. Members are in the world, but not of the world. Secular institutes are called to be like leaven, hidden, transforming the world from within. For more information, please go to our website at prosanctity.org. I'd like to begin our radio program now with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, Spirit of love and holiness, you who overshadowed Mary, making her mother of the eternal Word, dwell in us and make us apostles of holiness. I'm Lisa Lindsay, and I'm your guest moderator today. I have a guest here today, a very special guest. It's Monsignor Andrew Vaccari, who's just fresh from a retreat, although we're recording for a show that's going to be much later. And I'd like you, why don't you introduce yourself and what you do for Pro-Sanctity?
I'd be happy to. Thank you, Lisa. I'm Monsignor Andrew Vaccari. I'm the National Spiritual Advisor for Pro-Sanctity. I'm a priest of the Diocese of Brooklyn in New York City, where I am a pastor of the parish of St. Mary, Mother of Jesus. And I've been associated with Pro-Sanctity for about 15 years. And as the National Spiritual Advisor, I help to coordinate the various spiritual activities of the Pro-Sanctity Movement throughout the United States, as well as serve as an advisor to the National Board for Pro-Sanctity.
That's quite a job.
Oh, thank you. It's a wonderful job, really. It's a very graced experience for me, and I get to visit the different centers here in Nebraska, in Omaha and Elkhorn, as well as in California. And in our own diocese, in my own diocese of Brooklyn, we also have a center, which is how I first encountered the Pro-Sanctity Movement and the Apostolic Oblates.
That is, for us here in Omaha, we see them, I think, only as a local organization, and I'm always amazed at how wide the influence is.
It is.
It goes all over the country, all over the world, doesn't it?
Yes, and as you mentioned, it's an international organization.
Yes.
Beginning in Italy, and there are centers throughout Italy, as well as in India and Belgium, and we're really so pleased that the Holy Spirit has moved the movement to so many different places in the world. And the Spirit works in many different ways. I first became associated with the Pro-Sanctity Movement because of a pastoral need that I had nothing to do with Pro-Sanctity directly. When I was a newly ordained priest, I was studying Italian, and the parish that I was assigned to had an Italian mass. And even though part of my background is Italian, part of my ancestry is Italian, I didn't really know Italian all that well growing up. We didn't speak it that much in my home. But after I was ordained, I was having studied it in the seminary, I was assigned to a parish that had an Italian mass. And a friend of mine was the pastor in the parish where the Apostolic Oblates are located in the Diocese of Brooklyn. And so together, he and I had studied Italian, and he and I together went to one of the oblates, Giovanna Piccioli, and she helped us prepare for our Italian homilies and celebrating the Italian Mass. So it was really a work of the Holy Spirit to make
definitely
that connection.
And that's where they found you, or you found each other, and then you became involved.
And then years later, I was asked to give a Pro-Sanctity retreat in Brooklyn. And since then, I've been fortunate enough to go to different centers and be involved in many different activities with Pro-Sanctity.
Well, we're so happy to have you here today.
And thank you.
We just love Pro-Sanctity here in our diocese in Omaha and throughout Nebraska and Western Iowa. they're able to hear the show here and listen to Teresa Monahan and the Oblates and the different Pro Sanctity members who come on the show.
Beautiful.
Each week. So, and you just finished a retreat.
Yes.
Would you like to tell us something?
Sure, I'd be happy to. We just finished a retreat in Schuyler at the retreat house, that St. Benedict Center, and it was really wonderful. It was based on the relationship between Mother Teresa and the Blessed Mother, called In the Shadow of Our Lady. And we focused on the spirituality of Mother Teresa and her relationship with our Blessed Mother Mary, and tried to focus on how that could help us individually and corporately to grow in holiness. It was a beautiful. I love going to Schuyler. It's a wonderful retreat house. When I explain it to people back east, it takes a minute to explain how wonderful it is. But once I finish doing it, they're all enthused about it, too. So
it's a great place. I know my
really
children
is.
And I have been there for retreats. And it's so interesting that you say to me how the Holy Spirit works and how
yes.
you got involved in Pro Sanctity. And you're just telling me about In the Shadow of Her Lady. Guess what book I was reading on the plane?
Oh, really?
Father Langford's past weekend.
Book.
And I didn't realize. But one of the things that I read in there that had a really deep influence on me was a Mother Teresa saying, so I've really been working on my prayer life, as I know a lot of people are.
Sure.
And she said, the fruit of prayer is faith. And and how faith brings us to trust, and how it's all tied together, and so that's just it's just an interesting
yes, trust
aside.
And love and service.
Trust
so
and
faith
love.
And prayer and love and service, they're all connected. And Mother Teresa described it so beautifully, and she lived it for her whole life,
her whole life.
She was in religious life early. She joined the Sisters of Loretto, which was a community based in Ireland, and she went to the missions in India. And then after, I think it was 17 or 18 years of living in India as a Sister of Loretto, with her focus in her apostolate in education, she then received what she described as a call within a call to go to serve the poorest of the poor. And she had already made a promise to Jesus that she would never refuse him anything. Mm-hmm. And so when she perceived his call to her to live this extraordinary life, she was open, ready, and willing to follow his call within her call.
And she has a lot to teach us, doesn't she?
She does.
She's all these different volumes, and she led a fairly quiet life among the poorest of the poor, as you said. And that kind of brings us to the whole formation that we're having this year, the 2010-2011 Pro Sanctity Movement Annual Plan of Formation, which is concerning a saint, fully human, fully alive. And I looked within your letter here in the formation guide, the letter that you wrote to the Pro Sanctity members, and one of the quotes that you used from Pope Benedict XVI in the formation guide is that each one should have a saint that is familiar to him, to whom he feels close with prayer and intercession, but also to imitate him or her. And that is how you start off the letter for the formation guide. Just tell us more about how you come to this theme and what Pro Sanctity members should be thinking about when they're considering the saints. And
sure. Well, the theme comes from the leadership in Rome. The international leadership of Pro Sanctity describes a theme for the coming year.
Okay.
And so for this year, we are focused on the saint as fully human, fully alive. And Pope Benedict gave us a great encouragement in his audience that I quote from in August, in which he says that we should have that relationship with a saint, especially an individual, particular saint that we already may have a bond with by our name. We have a name, Frank for St. Francis, or Teresa for St. Therese, or St. Teresa. There's already that unity that we have, that bond that brings us closer together. And so he's suggesting that we find a saint that is a patron, maybe a name, a baptismal name, confirmation name, maybe another connection that we have, our parish, for example, but some saint that we are connected with. and get to know that saint, learn about the saint, read the writings, pray to the saint, spend time in prayer with that saint, because that saint already has an interest in us, and we have the foundation for an interest and a special bond of connection with that particular saint. And so we try to follow the saints because they teach us to follow Jesus. The saints are not interested primarily in us learning about the saints. They're yes. not calling us to be like them as much as they're calling us to be like Christ.
Like Christ.
And yes. each of the saints has something to tell us. The saints are really very creative because they take the situation that they are in, whatever it might be, whatever their vocation in life is, and they live it to a heroic degree of sanctity, yeah. whether it's as a baker or it could be in a medical field, it could be a priest, it could be a consecrated person, single, married. All of us have our own situation in which we are called by Christ to be holy. And the saints show us that it's possible in the broadest diversity of circumstances.
I found that too, because I think, you know, we've talked about in prior weeks on the show how people will say things like, oh, you know, what am I supposed to be, a saint? You know, as if it's impossible. And yet these people, they were fully human. They were human, just like us. And somehow, with the help of Christ and with the certain tools that they had and their prayer and the sacraments, they were able to become saints. I think that's what we're talking about here with the ProSanctity Formation and finding a saint. Like you said, there are married saints. You
of course,
know, there are saints
yes.
from all different walks of life.
Definitely.
And, you know, we have our beloved Mary Lemke's at the front desk here today, and we joke with her about Father Solanus Casey, or about Solanus Casey, who was the doorkeeper, and you know, and she's kind of our doorkeeper
yes.
here. And you can find a saint in all kinds of works of life that can
right.
help you along the pathway to holiness.
Yes, because every situation we are in is an opportunity for us to show the love of Christ.
Yes,
and whoever we might meet might be the most grumbling, unenjoyable person there is, but Jesus said to love one another as I have loved you.
As I have loved
and
you.
I think if we met all of the apostles or all of those early disciples, some would be very interesting and enjoyable to be with, and maybe some wouldn't be. But Jesus didn't make a distinction in that sense. He didn't say, just love those you enjoy being with,
yes.
or just those who are interesting or fun. No, his rule, his commandment, love one another. And then he said, love one another as I have loved you.
That's a big one.
That's
a big one.
That's a very big one.
I think
but that's what
gonna...
the saints did, and that's
sure.
what they want us to do, and they try to help us to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I know this formation guide is made for ProSanctity members and others who are interested to know more about how to do it. It's comprised of meditations and lessons, and one of those is we've gone through so far in the year. The first four, and we're starting off this year with chapter 5, and it begins, a saint is one famished for love that he already possesses, but not wholly. And maybe you can tell us a little bit more, how do we use this book? It has different... each of these is a chapter
yes.
For us to meditate on
yes.
and spend time with. And
sure.
And I'm assuming we don't just read it and go to the next one.
It's meant to be a... that's right. It's not based on plot. Right.
No, okay.
Each one... this is meant to be a in-hands tool for all the ProSanctity members, especially the more committed members, but it's really for any member to grow in holiness. And every year we try to produce something that will be hands-on with specific material for reflection, for prayer, and for sharing, to talk about with others how the Lord has been active in your life. What grace have you received? How has the Lord been working in your life in a very concrete way? Because we can talk about holiness in a general way and the general call to holiness, the universal call to holiness, which we all have. But how do we see it? How do we experience it? It's not just something that we have to wait until the end of our lives to experience when we go to meet the Lord, but it's something that happens day by day. And so this booklet is meant to, help people focus their reflection and prayer, taking one theme for each month, as you're doing here on the programs, and then encouraging us to share our reflections, to share our graces with others, either family members, husband and wife as spouses, children and parents, brothers and sisters, friends, a small group, going in a pro-sanctity meeting, whatever it might be, because we're encouraged when we hear how the Holy Spirit is working in each other's lives. So when I hear how God is working in your life, or you hear how God is working in my life, it's a witness, it's a testimony of faith. And we're not meant to go to heaven alone. We're meant to go to heaven hand in hand with others. We're members of a community of faith. The Catholic Church is a community of faith. It is Catholic, it is universal. And so together, we're meant to help each other, to walk with each other. St. Paul said, bear one another's burdens. If you remember the episode in the gospel, the scene in the gospel where Jesus is at the entrance of the house and the crowd is so big that they can't get to him. And so the paralytic has his friends carry him up to the roof. They make a hole in the roof and they lower him down to Jesus. He could never have gotten there on his own. He wouldn't have been able to do that. But his friends helped him.
Yes.
And so some days we're the ones who need the help, and other days we're the ones giving the help. But together we're meant to go to the Lord, and we're meant to grow in holiness. So if a person individually takes a few moments to read the reflections that come from different spiritual authors, especially from the founder of Pro Sanctity, Bishop Jacinta, the selections that come from the scriptures, take a few moments to read, to pray. In the back of the book is an appendix which gives a couple of methods of prayer with scripture or with the passages, and then make a little notation how this affects you, what movement there was in your heart, what you see happens in your life. And then when you're with somebody, talk about it. When you're with another pro-sanctity member, another family member, talk about how this affects you, how the Holy Spirit has been active, how Christ has been visible and present in your life. And that's really how it's meant to be used and shared.
It's kind of like the Lectio Divina that they speak about. And I'm looking here at the end of the that particular chapter that we were talking about. A-R-R-R, which I call R, which is the acknowledge, relate,
receive, respond. Yes.
Respond.
Yes.
And
it's one of the methods of praying with the scriptures and with applied to these passages. It's meant to bring together various notes of wisdom and experience from the saints, especially applied to Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina means divine reading. It's a Latin term, and it means divine reading. So we read and pray with an eye to the divine, to the presence of God. We acknowledge something that strikes us in the scripture or in the passage, and we relate it. We speak to Jesus about it. We relate it to the Lord, because our prayer is meant to be a dialogue, a conversation with the Lord. So often our prayer is one-sided. We just tell God what we want, and,
yes,
you know, we don't always listen.
No, that's for sure.
And sometimes we expect God to listen to us. And if
yes,
we really wanted the world to work right, we think we know how to handle everything. But we relate, we speak to Jesus about what's happening in our lives, what's important. We receive what is a grace or what is a movement from the Holy Spirit. Pope Benedict says prayer is pure receptivity to God's grace, love in action, communion with the Spirit who dwells within us, leading us through Jesus in the church to the Heavenly Father. And so it's a dialogue, a communication. And then we respond. The last R is respond. How do we go from our prayer into our daily lives? How do we go from our Lectio Divina into action? How do we live what we've been talking about with the Lord?
So you don't just, so you're not done there.
Then you need to go out. In your room, no.
And,
or in the chapel, that's not the end.
You have to actually always, I told people a lot of times I used to feel that I would be in prayer and then it's okay, Lord, you wait here and I'll go out to the world and try to fight it on my own and come back with that. You learn, it's not how it works.
No, it doesn't work that way.
No,
it doesn't.
It doesn't, I'm here to tell you.
Often we think we know how to do it, right?
Sure.
We forget that we are dependent, totally dependent at all times on the Lord. We like to be independent, but yes, we are totally dependent on God at all times.
Well, I know as we're going to continue this discussion in our next segment that's coming up the next week. And I want to thank you so much for coming here to Omaha and up to Schuyler and to having spending time with the members of Pro Sanctity and others who came to the retreat over that past weekend. And we look forward to talking to you on our next program, continuing on talking about Chapter 5, which is on a saint is one famished for love that he already possesses, but not holy.
Thank you.
Usually we have some information on upcoming activities and events. We don't have that right now because we're taping a little bit in advance, but we do want to encourage you to go to our website, which is www.prosanctity.org. There you're going to be able to find more information on our apostolate, including information on exploring a vocation as an oblate. And also, as I said, on any one of the upcoming activities that are going on. And also you can find information about all the different Pro Sanctity areas, and not just the one here in Omaha, but also the various other locations that are out there. Finally, I'm going to close this program with a prayer, looking forward to our next program that will continue this topic. This is an excerpt from the Pro Sanctity prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus, divine master, who came down from heaven, give us the desire to be heroic in every virtue and the trust to attain holiness with the help of Mary, your mother and our mother. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to Holiness Helpers on Spirit Catholic Radio. To find out more about the Pro Sanctity movement, visit their website, www.prosanctity.org.
The Pro Sanctity motto, Tutti Santi, Tutti Fratelli, all saints, all brothers and sisters.